Good morning.
What an honor it is to be here in Mifflinburg again. The last time I was here, we were here for quizzing, and that's about a five-hour drive for us from southern New Jersey. But what an honor it is to be here and share with you what God has on our heart. I want to read a verse of Scripture. It comes from Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. It's titled The Great Commission. Then the 11 were sent away into Galilee, into the mountains, or went away into the mountains near Galilee. When Jesus had appointed them, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, what an awesome privilege it is, Lord, to be a part of that great commission. Lord, you are calling my family, my wife, and my son, and myself to a great task, Lord, to go across the sea. But Lord, you're also calling your church, Lord, to come alongside of us and to support us financially as well as in prayer. And Lord, we just lift up these churches that we visit. We lift up Mifflinburg. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless them and bless their giving and bless their prayers, Lord, and bless their missions as we've heard about them going to Alaska and around the world and to the other countries, Lord. We just pray for protection upon them, and we pray for the open door for the gospel for them also. Amen. I want to take a little bit from here. I'm not going to preach a long time, and I just want to share a little bit with you. Out of the scripture here, it gives us 3 points, and one of those is making disciples. It involves 3 steps. The first one is we must go. I remember as a small child when the missionary would come and set up their wares sometimes on the communion table, and I would come up there and look at those, and I would dream about what Africa would be like, or what Cuba would be like, or what many Guatemala and those countries, depending on what missionary came. But I would always dream, and I'd sit there and say, well, maybe one day I'll go, maybe I won't. Well, I've been around to Mauritius maybe 4, maybe 5 times now, and you know God has called us back there. So I know where we're going. We're actually going to be those missionaries that are setting up tables, coming back a couple years from now and showing you what's going on and what God is doing. But so we must go. It also tells us we are to baptize them. And it also tells us that we are to teach them. We are to show them the way. You know, like the song said, you know, as long as we go with God and God opens the door, there's nothing we should be afraid of. I want to share a little bit with you this morning. We would like to share with you an exciting opportunity that God has opened for me and my family. We have been approved by the General Church of the Nazarene as well as Global Mission Office to serve in the country of Mauritius. How many people have heard of the country of Mauritius? Would you believe I never heard of it till I met my wife? I always thought it was Mauritania in West Africa, but I never heard of the country of Mauritius. But we will be establishing the work there on the African Central Field. We will be assigned there, establishing the work of the Church of the Nazarene on the island of Mauritius. Now, around the islands there, if you're up on missions, which the church here sounds like they are, the closest to us would be Madagascar, which and we also have a work on Reunion Island. But Mauritius will be the next island in that region. We believe that the ministry is done through community, and it is a vital part of the ministry that will be touching the lives with the good news of hope only found in Jesus Christ. And we'll see a video shortly here in a little bit, then you'll see what we're going to be dealing with. You'll see bits and pieces of some of those different religions and different cultures we'll be dealing with. Please, and like I mentioned, about supporting us in your prayers. You know, it's very important. I've talked to other missionaries, and you know, one of the greatest things we'd like to see and know is that people back home are praying for us. Whether they're in Mifflinburg or in Pottstown or the other churches that we visited, We have many people that are going to be prayer warriors, because when we're going there to start the work from the ground up. There are no Nazarene churches there. So I ask for your prayers. We do have prayer cards, and we have them on the table. And these cards are to put on your refrigerator. And every morning we have a couple of those on ours. And it's a reminder to pray for us. And if you forget where Mauritius is or how this or where we're at, everything is on the card. And if you do send an email, we'll be glad to respond back to it. We look to get probably hundreds of emails, which is going to be interesting to sort through them. But we'll try to stay in touch with the missionary presidents, which is very important. The cost of this venture, anytime you go overseas, that has a cost. You know, whether it's going to be giving up everything you have to start over again, or it's going to have a cost just to live there. The venture includes, our venture cost are $26,500. That's less than some salaries here for 1 year in this country. We're going to have three people living off of that. That goes for our travel expenses to the island of Mauritius, as well as our housing, utilities, food, ministry, and transportation in the country and throughout the country. We enjoyed the opportunity to be here to share some of the slides and some of what God is going to do in Mauritius. And we want to give you the vital opportunity to be a part of this new and exciting mission field. We are self-funded missionaries. Someone asked at one of the churches why we ask for support. In the General Church of the Nazarene, you have volunteer missionaries. And this is one of the things I learned, that we have to raise our support for the first 2 years. So that we're raising 1 year, and then we're going to be overseas having to raise a second year from over there. And then after the second year, once you become what the church calls career missionaries, then you will get funding from the General Church. And that's kind of some changes that have happened. And, you know, it's something that we want to bring up front so folks know, is why we're asking for the support. The funds given will be both used for ministry as well as personal expenses, for our everyday personal, like laptop, stuff like that, or anything we may need. This allows us to focus on establishing the work there. Because can you imagine being on the mission field and constantly having to raise funds? How can you stay focused on the task at hand? That's why we raise our funding up front. And we want to thank you in advance for your prayers as well as support as we obey God's call to serve in the country of Mauritius. We will leave on September 3rd. We're already booked to fly on Air France to Paris, and then we have a 7-hour layover. We leave from Paris, France, for another 12 hours south to the Indian Ocean. It takes you about 24 hours total flight time for both. But it's quite an interesting flight. If you've ever been in a plane for 12 hours, it gets tiring after a while. But it's interesting because you can go through many ways to get there. But we chose to go through France, which was a little less cost. But we want to give you a chance to take a look at Mauritius and see what's going on there. Well, if anyone isn't familiar where Mauritius is, you can see the slide there. It's off the coast of Madagascar, the island right off of South Africa is Mauritius. It's a small island, about 732 square miles. And there's about 1.4 million people live on the island. You think it would be crowded, wouldn't you? But it's not. It's not. It looks like the state of Maine. We'll see a picture here shortly. The geographics of Mauritius. You can see there, it's called the Republic of Mauritius. It's 890 kilometers east of Madagascar. And that is one of our mission fields there, as well as Reunion. And a French island next to Mauritius. There's what Mauritius looks like. It looks like the state of Maine. You also see the Mauritian flag there. We will actually see where it says Island Edge. We'll actually be just a couple of those dots south of that, and east is where we'll be settling initially, and then we're looking to work in the northern part of the island. And the French says one people, one nation, and one future. One people, one nation, one future. And that's in French there. The English is the official language. Thank God it's English because it's the only language that I speak. I tried French. I will learn some French because it's necessary to try to learn that, as well as Creole, because I need to know how to say milk for my coffee, because I like coffee with a lot of milk in it. I don't put sugar in it, but that's the first thing I try to learn in any country I go. We were in the Dominican Republic, I was, in 1993 with Work and Witness, and I learned that leche was milk in Spanish. And if that's the only word I learned, I need to have milk in that coffee because it was very strong. So it's interesting. When you go into a country, you automatically assume everybody speaks English, but that's not always true. English is their official language. French is extensively used, and Creole is widely spoken. Now, sometimes they'll blend the two together, French and Creole. You have other Asian languages and dialects from other cultures and different people that come in. But one of the interesting things about Mauritius, you will see a lot of Chinese folks that come in to work. Within 1 year, they're learning French or Creole. They're very fluent. Mauritius is a maritime climate, tropical during the summer and subtropic during the winter. How would you like to go to an island nation where there's no snow? No snow, no shoveling. I won't miss the shoveling. I miss seeing the snow, but I won't miss shoveling. But it's quite an interesting culture. You see there, summer months is from November to April. How would you like for summer to be in the middle of November here? That would be quite a change. And winter months are from May to October. It's quite a diverse because they're in the central of the globe. So they're between the equator and the Tropic of, I think it's Cancer. So you're right in the middle of those two. So the weather doesn't change very much. See the temperature there, 55 degrees to 66 would be your lowest temperatures. And your highest temperature can get almost over 100 in the tropics, or even 110 maybe. The island nation of Mauritius up close, you see the palm trees and the coral beaches. Looks very, very nice. You see the landscape. It actually is a volcanic island. The volcano on the island is actually collapsed in, so it's actually dormant. But with everything going on around, we just pray that it stays dormant. This is in the south of the island. You can see the turquoise water. I like water you can see the bottom of it. If I can't see the bottom of the water, I won't go into it. We live in New Jersey, so we have the Jersey Shore. But I don't like going in the water, I can't see the bottom. But this is beautiful. It's surrounded by a coral reef, which protects it from sharks and also protects the island. This picture, we had our picture taken, the first slide we saw. Cascade Falls is in the Black River of the island. It's actually in the west. This is beautiful. They got gorges and God's artwork and handiwork there. This is a capital city. Port Louis is one of the largest cities in Mauritius. It's actually the port city, and it's very, very tightly knitted, and you'll see some of the slides of some of the city side streets. So Mauritius at nighttime, the capital city from the mountaintop. This is one of the side streets in Mauritius. How would you like to drive down that street? You couldn't take one of an American car down that street. The average car there is about half the size of the American car. So if you see some of the Japanese cars, like I think there's one called the Echo, Toyota puts one. It's really narrow. You ever drive down the road behind one? It's like half the size of yours. That's how most of the cars are there. They're very, very small. They're all four-cylinder, and most of them run off of diesel. Very few, there are gasoline cars, but most are four-cylinder. If you have a 6 or an 8, you got to pay a VAT tax, and that's very expensive for that. If you look at this picture, if you can see straight back, you see the white tower coming up with a little gold next to the building. That is a Muslim minaret. There is a Muslim population, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. The streets of Chinatown in Port Louis. If you've been to Philadelphia or where there's a Chinatown, you usually see the arches. And the arches are pretty, if you see one of those, you'll know that you're in Chinatown. There's a large Chinese population. These are the markets. How would you like to get fresh fruit every day? These fruits come from Africa, they come from Egypt, and they come from many surrounding countries around Mauritius. These are the hawkers. Hawkers are street vendors. These are vendors that will buy sometimes products, and then they'll resell them. And they do them all throughout the streets. This is a village street. Now see how the roads have the zigzag lines? I have to get used to driving there because they drive on the left-hand side of the road. And the steering wheel is in the passenger side. It's so funny because when I'd get into a car, I'd always want to get in the left side. But you have to get in the right side. And the 60 is in kilometers. But the different zigzags and different signs mean different things. So I've got a lot to learn there. But you look at the road, it's not very wide. And on the sides, you see the little, there are no sidewalks. That's actually, well, that might be a sidewalk there. But some of those, it's real narrow. And you'll have people walking two and three alongside the road. So you have to be very careful. And you see the clouds in the picture there. Sometimes the clouds will seem so low that you could reach out and touch them. I mean, God is awesome. I mean, when you're there, it's almost paradise on earth. This is Cyber City. You see the mountains in the background. This is also a bank. It's called MCB Bank. That's a brand new bank they built in this near the center of the island. But you can see the highways there, and you can see the mountains. Very beautiful. They also have the University of Mauritius. The University of Mauritius is a very good school. My wife went there and graduated from the University of Mauritius. My wife is also a teacher. She teaches math, physics, and chemistry. They teach three subjects over there rather than just one. But one of the interesting things, when we were in Mauritius in 2008, we were sitting in a meeting at a coffee shop, and one of the gentlemen we were talking to, he said, "You're Nazarene, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I met a man that's a Nazarene too." And he was teaching. He was on loan to the University of Mauritius, teaching at Mauritius. They were from Illinois. And he was teaching there, and they were looking to put the church there in 08. But it did not happen at that time. But it was interesting to get to meet them. They were the Perrys. We met them, and it was interesting. And we told them of our heart's desire to go back to Mauritius. And they were praying for that. And recently we were able to tell them that we were selected to go. So it was a prayer come true since 2008. This is one of the schools that's in Mauritius. Now, this is actually a private school. We're hoping and praying that Noah will be able to go to this school. This is actually called the Lighthouse School. It was started by a woman from Maryland. And she went there and didn't have a school for her daughter. And she said, I want to homeschool my daughter. She started with just her daughter. And now I think they're almost, three campuses now. So it's a private school. But they teach in English. And they also teach them in French. So Noah would be able to learn that. So we don't have to, some missionaries put their children in boarding school. But Noah, we are not. Noah will always stay with us. We will put him in the school. Now, this is a Mauritian school. This is a public school in Mauritius. The children, my wife, when she taught at the Adventist College when she taught. Most of them wear uniforms at those schools. And you see the people, the various population movements from the 18th, 19th, 20th century have made Mauritius a unique blend of different races, cultures, and religions. People of European, African, Indian, Chinese, and also American now make a multiracial society. The various cultures and traditions flourish in peace and harmony. The Hindus, the Christian, the Muslims, and the other faiths, it's ironic that they live in harmony with one another. We don't see that here, but in there it's one of the few things that you can look around and they're very tolerant of one another. And they live in peace with one another. This is a makeup of Mauritius. 68% is Indo-Mauritian, which have Indian descent. You'll see the Franco-Mauritians, which is of French descent, which is 2%. Sunu-Mauritian, which is Chinese. And then we see the Creole, which is 20, 27% Creole, they're of African descent. This is a picture of a couple of folks from the, representing the Creole. And these are the Indians. This is their traditional everyday dress. They dress like that. I thought they were going to a festival or going to, you know, going to a wedding or something like that. But this is their everyday dress. Would you like to go wear dress like that every day? But you know, when in the old saying says, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do; when in Mauritius, you do as the Mauritians do." But the Indians tended dress that like that every day. This is the Chinese. There's a large Chinese population, and this is in Chinatown. A lot of festivals. This is a street in Mauritius that no cars go down, but they're walking. Sometimes it can be so crowded through town, but you'll see the different cultures of people. And the various cultures from Africa and Asia and Europe, they bring with them their music, they bring with them their dance. This is Sega, right? This is Sega dance here. And this is the Indians. These are Chinese, one of the Chinese festivals. They have a police force in Mauritius. It's a very, very professional police force. They're very, very thorough, and they keep the country pretty safe. This is a Mauritian rupee. In Mauritius, they use rupees. Now, don't confuse the rupees with India, because it's very easy to do that. The name sounds familiar. But the Mauritian rupees, you see there, $1 is equal to 30 rupees, or 36 rupees. Now, a rupee, just to give you an example, would be about the size of a quarter. So can you imagine walking around with maybe $50 in your pockets in rupees? You'd have a lot. You know, we get tired when we have change and put it in a jar on our dresser somewhere. But the exchange rate is very good for the dollar that way, but coming the other way, it's not so good. But it all depends on the market. It can jump up or down. They have diversity of food. If you like to eat, you know, Nazarenes have a history of eating. They're very, very, they always say if you can find a restaurant, you're going to find a Nazarene there somewhere. You know, and hopefully that'll be true in Mauritius. But they have diversity of food. You have a lot of barbecue food. You have a lot of seafood. You see the red snapper there. You have curry. You have a lot of rice, chicken biryani. A lot of the foods come from the various cultures. Some I'll try, some I'm not. I haven't tried yet. But the pastries in Mauritius, who's got a sweet tooth here? I sure do. You'll always find me probably somewhere at a bakery. My favorite is the one on the right there, the little, looks like a tart, but it's called Port-au-Mor. Port-au-Mor means well of love. And it might not be that good for health-wise, but it's very good. It's more like a mousse. But they have various kinds of pastries. A lot of their pastries come from the French influence. I forgot that. I do want to. My wife's going to come up and speak a little bit too. One of the things I forgot to introduce was my wife and my son. I'm not here by myself. My wife, Emma, she is Mauritian, and my son Noah. And I'll let her go ahead and continue from here.
Good morning. Hear me? I know I'm a teacher, but I'm not too much of a speaker like Doug. And I was born in Mauritius. And the background for my family, we were Catholic. And also, we come from Chinese descent, so we used to practice a little bit of Buddhism in our family, and also a little bit of when we are sick, some of us will go to the witch doctor. So in Mauritius, there's diversity of religions, and somebody can be Catholic, but they still practice Buddhism, or they still practice a little bit of Hinduism. And it's not like one. But like it says, we live in harmony, And we respect each other. And also, there's always a fine line that we should not cross with somebody. And when we meet somebody at school or in public, there's no, in our mind, there's no question that, oh, he's a Buddhist or she's a Christian, or we just talk to the person. And evangelism is mainly done by friendship evangelism. We come to know the people and love them, and they start asking questions, how you live, and also we have to teach the Bible. Of course, there are debates sometimes, and but we do it for sake of Christ. And there's a story about I used to go, well, I was single a long time, and I used to go in a, like a little restaurant, eat in the evening. I used to work at school, go in the capital, and then go eat something, and then go give tuition. I used to tutor high school kids, and I was reading my little Bible, and this lady came in, and she saw me reading the Bible, and she said, is it the Bible? I said, yeah. And she said, you know, I'm Catholic. I said, oh, well, that's good. And would you like to sit down with me and talk? And she said, do you believe in the Virgin Mary? I said, yeah, she was the mother of Jesus. But do you believe that she's the mother of God, and she is the mediator between God and man? And then I say, do you believe in the Bible? And she said, yeah, I read the Bible. But I said, do you believe in the Bible? And I showed her in 1 Timothy 2:5, says that the one mediator man between God and man is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And she got very upset with me, and she said, oh, you're too young to read that, to understand what I'm saying. I said, okay. But if you believe in the Bible, this is in the Bible. And I try not, out of respect, because she was elderly, and out of respect for her, I didn't just confront her. I said, okay, and you have a good day. So sometimes you come in contact with other religion, and it depends how, but people ask you question, and God will guide us, how to talk to that person. Sometimes you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you have to be, okay, let's talk about it, and let's have a coffee. Let's have some tea together, and befriend the person. And all right, let me talk about the religion now. So in Mauritius, it's almost 50% Hindu, and it was... it's mainly Hindu. So the government is Hindu. And their goal was to put in every village, they want to put a Hindu temple. So, and us as Christian in Mauritius, so we say our goal is in each village, we have to have a Christian church. So God has been working, and the Assemblies of God, they are very widespread. That's where my background comes from. And so I work with the Assemblies of God and the Evangelical Church and the Baptist Church. I participated in church planting and youth leadership and children ministry also there. And we have Roman Catholic, 26.3%. The Muslim is 70.3, and Christian, we are growing. Used to be 5-6%, now it's 10%. Yoo-hoo, yeah. And Buddhism is 1%, and we have other religion also. It's less than 1%, but it's all like a melting pot. You meet somebody, and it's not because how they look like, they practice that religion. So when you talk to them, that's when, you know, you come to know them, and they ask you question, and what do you do, and then conversation, and we'll grow into, okay, what do you believe? So these are some, they have like a council in Mauritius with all the head of each religion together. And you see the first one is a Muslim imam, the one who is waving the hand. And the second one is represent the Protestant, the Christian church. The third one is a Hindu priest. And the fourth one is Noah, the Buddhist. And the last one is Roman Catholic. Very good. So in Port Louis, in the capital, you see it's a Muslim mosque. And you see far in the background, what do we see? It's the Chinatown, the arch. So everything is so close together. In one little town down the block, you can have a Hindu temple. Here you have the mosque, and on the other corner you have the Chinese Arch at Chinatown, and everything is close together. And you see the proximity of different religion. Like on the other side, you see the Muslim tower there, and on this side is a Catholic church. So everything is close together. And this is one of the Catholic churches in the north of the island. It's very colorful. You see the beach in the back? Beautiful, right? And this is in town, a Chinese pagoda. And this is a Hindu temple in Grand Bassin. Grand Bassin is, you see the river there? It's a bit similar to the Ganges River, where people, the Hindu will go and bathe themselves and cleanse themselves. It's for purification of their body and soul. And during a festival, they will go there and they will all converge to that river to cleanse. They will stay there. They will walk so many hundreds of miles to come and just to be in that river for that festival. And that's their belief, you know, always keep cleansing, keep purifying, because they don't know our God. They don't know Jesus, who once and for all died for us and cleansed us from our sin. But for them, they have to keep doing it, keep doing it. And they don't know about forgiveness once and for all, like we have in Jesus. That's why they have so many gods, thousands of gods, and that's sad also. And you want to share about that? Okay. Thank you.
This is the first time she spoke at one of the churches. Usually I do, and I told her this time I thought it would be good that she got to speak. But the interesting thing about this picture here, you know, you never know the life you'll touch. And you know, like Emma said about, you know, you got to get to know the person first. You know, you have to give, become their friend. You know, I used to think the word befriend meant to turn somebody away, but I didn't realize that befriend meant to be somebody's friend. You know, you don't have to go to a faraway country to be a friend of somebody. But you know, when you do go away to a foreign country, it's always good to learn the people, understand them. This gentleman here, his name is Rico Intelligence. How do you like that name, Intelligence? That's his last name. I think I'd like that last name, but I think God gave me the name Solomon for a reason. You know, but this gentleman here in the middle is Rico Intelligence, and he was the owner of a cafe we stopped by. Pierre is a good friend from Emma's church and the Evangelical Church, and he said, I want to take you to try the different foods and cultures. This is before we knew we were actually going to go. So he said, I want you to try wild boar. I want you to try deer curry. I want you to try the different foods. So I said, okay, no problem. We'll try it. So we were sitting there in the restaurant, and the gentleman, we were talking, and he says, well, you sound like you're an American. I said, yeah. He said, what brings you here? And I said, you know, my wife's from here, and I said, we're here to preach on Sunday at the Evangelical Church. And he said, oh, you're a preacher, you know, or a pastor. They don't call them preachers, they call them pastors. But he said to me, we got to talking, and he told me he was Catholic, and I said, well, that's nice, you know. And he told me, you know, somehow it came out. I asked him. I said, the Lord just put it on my heart to ask him, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, and I said it again, and then Pierre said it in Creole to him, and so it was a little more clearer. And you know what he said? He said, what is that? He said, I pray the rosary. I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithe. You know, he said, but what is that? And I said, you know, when Christ can come into your heart and forgive you and restore you and make you anew. And he said, can I really do that? And I said, yes, you can. And you know what? Right there in that restaurant, we led him to the Lord. All those years, he thought he was a Christian, but he was just going through the motions. And I'm not saying anything bad about Catholics or anything, and I'm not saying that. I don't want to cross the line. But it was interesting because he didn't know what a relationship with Christ was. And you know what? He said, you came 28,000 miles to tell me about Christ. You know what the interesting thing is? We don't have to go 28,000 miles to tell people about Christ. Because you know what? We can just a few steps next door, a few steps down the street, or another state like Alaska, to go and tell people about Christ. Because you know what? One of the things I like about the Church of Nazarene, we are mission-minded. And somehow we have to remember, we never forget that. Because some churches are not as mission-minded as some. And you know, I went there God used us to lead him to the Lord. And there were other stories we could talk about. But Pierre is one of our contacts that's there. This is some of the goals that we have. You know, when you go into a foreign field, we're starting from the ground up. So what do you want to do when you get there? We know God has called us there, but you know what? Like my wife was saying about the Hindus and about the Muslims and about the Buddhists. You know, the only thing I know about is what I've seen on TV, you know, watching a karate movie or, you know, Bruce Lee movie or something like that, or watch some of the movies, or about the news teach you about Muslims. You know, Muslims this way and the other different faiths. But you know, one of the things we need to do, initialize contact with locals, which we already have. We have groundwork already there. In the last 4 years, we've allowed, you know, there's groundwork laid. And we need to understand the culture, the religions, and the languages. Because you know what? Like my wife said, you don't want to cross that line. Because you can cross the line and you can create a mess. And it's better to be passive about it than it is to be very aggressive sometimes. One is this. The second one is establish the foundation for planting the first Church of the Nazarene on the island. I believe one day Mauritius is going to be its own district. I really believe the revival fire will start and it will continue from there. The other would be to establish an NCM, which is Nazarene Compassionate Ministry Center, such as a Christian cafe. They like to drink coffee. People like to sit and talk and socialize. Nothing better than a Christian cafe. Food pantry, I put that on there, but that's, you know, that's another option there to reach the needy. Another option that is there is to establish a 24-hour Christian radio station. Do you know that the Christian radio station can reach literally hundreds of thousands? Where Mauritius is located, if you saw in the southern Indian Ocean, we can actually use the ocean like a giant antenna. On the eastern part of the island, we could send broadcasts, especially at nighttime, into even mainland Africa. It could reach that far away. And the neighboring islands, there's quite a few neighboring islands. But you know, right now there's only, I think, about 2 hours of Christian radio. And it's so quick that it's done and gone. But I believe if we establish a 24-hour radio station, that we can reach many with the gospel of Christ. Our church locally in Bridgeton uses the radio station. And you know what? We get so much response through the radio. And in Mauritius, almost every folk there has a radio. So they're pretty much listening to music or tuning into something. And the languages would be in those native languages of those cultures also. And the other would be to establish work and witness teams to the island for building projects, evangelism, and other things that we may need down the road. We've been at some of the churches, and we've already got people talking, a year from now of coming to the island of Mauritius. You know, it doesn't take a lot of people, but it does take some people. One of the interesting things, and I'm going to close here for the video, but I want you to remember, we're going to take the Jesus film. How many people heard of the Jesus film? Do you know that is one of the greatest evangelistic tools that the church has at its disposal? We can go into the villages and into the communities in Mauritius, get permission from the government, because we have to. Anything we have that we give out or we're going to do has to have government approval. Can you imagine being in a country like that? In America, we don't need that. But when you're in other countries, you've got to respect their laws. And you know, one of the greatest things about that is it can be, we're going to take one with us. We already had, the Bridgeton Church has already put forth the money to buy the Jesus film. We're going to take the backpack with us, which will be an exciting thing because, you know, normally work and witness teams will come in and bring them in, or Jesus film teams, but we're going to take it with us because of the shipping and because of waiting a year for someone to come in. But pray about that, because those lives are going to be reached through that film. One of the interesting things about the different cultures is, you know, the thing that really impacts them the most is the crucifixion, because they can't understand why a man would give his life and die on a cross, such a harmful and such painful death as he did. You know, you think of the Passion of the Christ, the movie. You know, if it came close to anything that Christ went through on that day, that would reminds me of the closest it would be. And it's probably nowhere near exactly what it would have been. But when individuals from other cultures see that, from India, from these other backgrounds, they are so impacted. And when they see the resurrection, they're like, he's not dead anymore. He's alive. He is alive. And you know, Christians today, we need to remember that. He's alive and he's still in control. As we do the Jesus film, it's going to have a great impact for Mauritius. And we have a short video I want to bring up. And I want you to take a look at this. There's going to be things popping up in there, and I want you to see this. Take note of that. So it's quite impacting, isn't it? So you never know the lives that you'll touch or the people that you'll meet. But we want to thank you on behalf of my wife and my son and myself for allowing us to come and share our vision for God, because it is not an easy task. But yet we have God on our side, and we're walking in faith knowing God's going to provide. We do want to thank you for your hospitality. We thank you for putting us up, and we want to thank you for listening to us, because it's important as we go abroad, and we want to thank you for that.